All right. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
This is the first in our mental health series of conversations from the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief Collective. My name is Alan Choi. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and a therapist working with teens and adults on anxiety, depression, life transitions, and everything in between. I'm the founder of the East Bay Center for Teen and Family Therapy in Walnut Creek, and also part of the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief Collective in Alameda. And today, and this is Chewy, by the way. She's sitting right there. I'm moving a little bit. And today we're taking on a very timely topic as we enter the Thanksgiving and December holidays. It's how to keep peace and your peace of mind during the holidays. And we're talking to Elizabeth Dondanelle right here, licensed marriage and family therapist, the founder of the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief Collective, and someone who I consider to be a very wise friend.
Thank you, Alan. It's good to be here.
And so, let me humble brag you for a little bit, just so people know who we're talking to and what your experience is. So Elizabeth has been practicing for 30 years in the mental health field and has very broad experience as a therapist, starting in chemical dependency, working with substance use, and then working in the court systems, and then now in private practice. In her free time, she is a fan of walks on the beach and pelicans. She's married, so that was a plug. That was not a plug, I mean. She's the founder, as I said earlier, of the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief, a collective in Alameda, since 2012. And we're currently a collective of 7 licensed therapists and 1 associate with pretty diverse backgrounds. And we all have the common goal of providing effective mental health. And what that really means is providing the skills, perspective, insight, and tools to really help clients sort of be their own therapist and to be able to thrive in their lives. So that's us. And why don't we get started, Elizabeth?
Fabulous, Alan. Thanks for that great intro. And so glad to have you part of the collective because you do really wonderful work with teens. And by the way, this dog Chewy is Alan's. And we just thought we'd bring them in because, you know, it's so human when we have dogs around and things like that. It's really nice.
Yeah. Very calming.
It's very calming for us. And so if you visit our Alameda office at times when Alan's in, you might also see Chewy. Chewy is also a pretty well-trained therapy dog. Lovely. So yes, peace of mind for the holidays. What do you have for me, Alan?
Many questions. You're okay. Going to solve everyone's problems, people who are listening here. Now, let me make a quick little disclaimer.
Please.
This is a
yes.
conversation. This is not meant to be mental health advice, and it's not to substitute for a licensed professional or a doctor. We're just trying to give tips to help people thrive. And so, Elizabeth.
Exactly. And let me interject something
yes.
real quick on that one. That yes, that's why even we're at the end here, we're going to give some tips and tricks, and Alan is just going to be a person and I'm going to be a person here, because these things that we're going to be giving you today and talking about are simple enough in a way that we want you to just be able to apply them if you need them. And this isn't, as he said, therapy or, you know, mental health advice, right?
Yeah, but it's very good positive psychology. And so, Elizabeth, you have tons of experience, and I can probably guess that you've had like thousands of clients at least.
You know, when I saw you had that written down.
And I'm sorry, we have, as life happens, right? We had a tiny little accident, but that's okay, because you know what? This is the holidays. This is exactly what happens, right? We deal with the unexpected. And we roll with it.
Except that now they can't hear us because our mic wasn't plugged in. So, what just happened there was that Chewy, our dog, got caught in the cords and pulled the camera down. So,
yes.
Here we are again.
After extensive setup and you know, by the previous hour of trying to make sure that everything's right, the mic is turned in the right direction. We just
everything.
Had a little oopsie, and you know what? We're gonna adjust, we'll be fine. And this is a really good example of like, hey, what if like the turkey gets burned? What if you invite two people that don't get along? We're just gonna have to roll with
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing, Ellen. I thought this is like holiday chaos right here,
it.
right? Absolutely. Expect the unexpected is part of it, and that whole acceptance of just running with it. And it is. It's so much like that. The holidays, truly. We spend an hour setting this up, and then within 2 minutes, we just reset it up. So, welcome back. And
We're gonna restart. So
yes.
actually, this actually flows in really well. So in your long experience with thousands of clients, what are some of the common complaints or stressors that your clients have brought to you during the holidays?
You know, through the years, and this is one reason why I usually try and do something for the holidays, whether this is a new launch of the webinar, but we've often posted blogs or done little workshops and things, because one of the number one things is communication and being with people that you may or may not particularly have a strong connection with, even though they might be called family, right? And how do you work with that? And then all the expectations of the holidays, and it can generate quite an internal conflict and external conflict, depending on how your communication is with your family. But internally, feeling, you know, those obligations and those expectations, and you know, also even that, what does family mean? You know, many people will try and connect with their actual biological family, but also people have found families, friend families, or how do they balance family and friends if they're two separate groups? And this all creates a lot of stress. And on one hand, you know, it shows how much we want connection and we really care about the people around us. And you know, these are the holidays are age-old rituals that manifest in all different cultures in different ways, but they're t about times of coming together and connecting with people that either that mean a lot to you or that you're connected to in a way that you don't see often, and it provides that opportunity. And around that, in these rituals of connections, there's a lot of prep, and sometimes that can cause a lot of stress.
I mean, you just sort of summed up so many different things as you were talking, and I was thinking about just all the clients that I've worked with and myself, and there are all these different things that you're trying to figure out, good and bad, from internal factors like what you feel about things or your prep, what you need to do, to external when you actually deal with things that are maybe more out of your control with family members. And you're doing all this because it's a ritual. You might feel like you have to, you might want to. You're also trying to come together, but trying to do this awesome thing. So there's really a lot there. And if we're going to drill down into sort of what you just talked about, like expectations, you said a really good word because I think that's probably one of the biggest things that underlying all these different connections. It's that people hold expectations during the holidays, and that probably causes some stress. Like, what are some expectations that you've seen or that you personally might feel about the holidays?
I think the two biggest expectations is one, I've known I've gone through it, but is, you know, the expectation that I should connect with my family, even though maybe I haven't seen my family or it's difficult or it's complicated. And in these times, you know, especially I'd say in America with the politics, but it's probably worldwide now, there's just so much, right? And so how do you have conversations that are connecting? You might even stress about those in advance and start ruminating, right? And spinning about, oh, suppose, you know, Aunt Letitia says this, and oh no, because she says that every holiday, and then that gets Uncle George upset, and then my mother steps in. And I mean, we can play these out, right? Because for many of us, we the scenarios in some ways have been going on most of our lives, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing with family, right? So there's that balance. And trying to figure out how to manage that, and that can generate stress, right? And then the other thing of one thing I hadn't put out there that does stress, and being a parent myself, even though I have an adult child, is what sort of things do you want to pass on to your children as far as legacy, right? Because the things we do today in our family rituals, either if it's our friend's family, you know, our found family or our family, have been passed down through the generations, including how we communicate. But the foods that we make and how, what if it's, you know, how we celebrate that's been passed down to us. Someone way long ago probably started it, or because someone long ago started something and then the rest of the family decided they didn't like it, they changed it to something else, right? And so all of that is like, now what are you going to pass on? What do you, how do you want to present that? That can create a level of stress too.
Oh my, I wasn't even thinking about like stepping back and what is this and the rituals of what we're doing and passing on to their kids. I have a kid. I'm like, now I'm getting nervous. Like, I'm like, my gosh, I was just thinking about like how to cook the turkey, you know, what, you know, what other food, cleaning the house. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, there's like a lot of significance in these holidays. And, you know, historically what we want for, you know, what we want for them, what we want to pass on. And then on top of all that, like executing.
Exactly. And what you just said was so lovely, because that's actually usually how it manifests. We focus on the turkey, the gifts, the this, the that. But underneath that, that's the intention of you want it to be good. You want to maybe honor that favorite aunt and uncle or grandparent. You are, if it's not really in your consciousness, it's in your emotional state. This is one of the reasons why you want it to be good and what creates the stress, because you're passing this on, right?
Yeah, so you're right. It you know, it comes from a really good place.
It absolutely does.
Well,
and then it, you know, shoots anxiety up to an 11 that's on a 10 scale, you know.
Right? Well, yeah, you know, and that's
sometimes what, not always, but
well, and that's what, actually that maybe that's where we can go next, because I mean, as you're saying, this is ultimately, you know, we want to do a lot of good. We're trying to uphold some important rituals that we want to uphold and pass down. And yet there are all these expectations. There are, you know, essentially a lot of things that you, you know, should do. And I know you and I have talked about this in preparation for this webinar, but why do you think shoulds are so prevalent, and why are they so important to understand?
Right. Yeah, that's a, gosh, I could spend the whole hour on that one.
Your specialty. One of your specialties.
It's true. If anybody works with me, or even, you know, in my own family, my own language, I have for years tried to work with what one famous psychologist, and the name escapes me right now, but that created the study of the tyranny of the shoulds. And the whole idea behind that is that, you know, shoulds project something that they're not connected usually to who we are as much as who we should be. Shoulds connect us to the expectations that we have. Now, while often that's well intended, the shoulds, when you use a should appropriately, it is a language of obligation, meaning there's a contractual agreement. It's a lovely language to use legally, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know you've had a past experience in the legal field. And so for contracts, you know, you should do this. This is the expectation. And if it doesn't happen, then there will be a consequence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about it. Yes. And so, for example, if you carry a driver's license and you should follow the speed limit, if you don't, and you have an agreement because you carry a driver's license that to follow the rules of the road. And if you don't and you get caught, then you have a consequence, and it's usually punitive or negative. That's the reason why, you know, in the illegal system, it works well. That's where shoulds be. You should do this, you should not do that sort of thing. It also can be a bit, you know, in religious studies, it's used with thou shall not, or, you know, there's certain rules and things of codes of conduct and behavior. Now, those we use those commonly. Where it gets complicated is then when we take those shoulds and we put them in our own language and we make them, and then they become our own rules, which if it turns into a rule, it's like a must. I must do this. I have to do this. I must make sure I get that 20-pound turkey every year. Otherwise, my mother will be upset with me because she'll be worried and concerned that we're going to run out of food, right?
You know, it's really interesting what, like, you've, I mean, God, that was like a really good education on sort of a little bit more of the history of should. And let me back up just a little bit, because you were saying that, I mean, you can trace this in different systems, the word should, and there's a lot of this sort of like legal or punitive context, or even religious, like sort of like, you know, like sort of rules of what you must do. And it's very interesting how, you know, lingo that maybe might be better or normally reserved for other contexts gets put in our personal context, in our personal lives, with relationships with people we love.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you said something earlier about how, and this is, I'd like to really explore this a little bit more because it's really interesting. We all say them, and maybe now we know where they might come from, right? Like they've leaked in from different systems, but you said that they connect us to expectations, but they're not who we are. Can you explain that a little bit more, what you
Sure.
mean?
So they connect us in like I should, I don't know, yeah, produce the 20-pound turkey. Let's go with that. Because while it sounds simple, it can create great rumination and angst and anxiety, right? And I should do that, all right? Because I don't want my mother to be upset. Classic thing, right? I need to
Yeah, of
have this
course.
special dish,
Yeah.
because you care about your mother, so I should do this. But the issue is, suppose you're only having five people show up for Thanksgiving, right? Now you're going to have a lot of leftovers. Now you got to deal with all of that. But you've got an obligation, and somehow you made an agreement with your mother that in order for Thanksgiving to be great, you must have a 20-pound turkey.
Oh wow, we've morphed from like you should, or even like just like having a nice meal to like you must have a 20-pound
A turkey,
turkey.
exactly, for the meal to be good, and so that my mom doesn't get upset, and then she doesn't raid on me, and then, oh my gosh, you could probably spin all of those things in your head. And so that it, I don't know if I answered your question exactly, but it sets a pace of these are like, I should please my mother, I should produce this turkey, I should do this. And it doesn't necessarily bring you to the moment in time of like, well, you know what? I'm really kind of tired this year. And actually, there's only about six or
Right.
seven relatives in town, and they're going to be coming in. And 20-pound turkey is really too much, And gosh, I saw this incredible recipe the other day online, and I'd rather do that. See that
Yeah.
right there.
The should, as you describe it, the should ends up taking a life of its own. And it, as you sort of like bring it back to sort of like what you were sort of saying about like not who we are, it's not connected. Like, what does a 20-pound turkey have to do with your relationship with your mom? What
Exactly.
relationship does a 20-pound turkey have to do with your life right now? Like, especially right now, like, what if you only have five people? Then why a 20-pound turkey, And even like if you take a step back about the rituals and why you're doing this and wanting to pass significance on, I mean, are we really trying to pass a 20-pound turkey on, or are we trying to pass like a good time or a good
Right.
connection with family? So yeah.
Exactly. What we're trying to pass on probably is just you want to make your mom happy or the family member happy or the friend happy, right?
Yeah, that's what's important.
It's important. But then somehow these obligations have come up, and that's what shoulds make the language of obligation. And the other side of that, when it's punitive, in a should, if it's a contractual agreement, then if it does, someone doesn't fall through, there is someone to blame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's about finding fault and then finding reparations,
So,
but.
exactly. So, shoulds then generate the language of blame,
Oh, we don't
which
want that
means,
in the family. That's terrible.
right? But we do it all the time, right? If something, if I should have done this, then either I need to blame myself or others or the world. Those are the three places we go. Someone must be at blame. So, either I'm going to blame myself, I'm going to blame somebody else, which then generates that destructive communication or the
Oh my
defensive
gosh, yeah.
communication. Or I'm going to just blame the world, right?
Yes.
Right? Why did the world think about why do we have to serve turkey on Thanksgiving? This is ridiculous, and all these, this ritual is awful, and blaming the world for it.
Yeah, well, as we're talking about it, I can already feel the stress and even imagine it, right? From like the stress of having to cook this turkey, to preparing it, to buying it, to the stress of like, then, if you're in this weird space where everything's an obligation, then like managing difficult conversations when you're stressed out, it sort of circle, it sounds like this should sort of circle, sort of bring you to that stress point. I mean, it's causing a lot of the stressful situations that oftentimes people think about when they have when they're preparing for holidays. So I think it's sort of obvious why we should be paying attention to shoulds. You said something earlier that was really interesting. The word, we're talking about shoulds, and then you said the word must. And so obviously we should pay attention to shoulds. But also, I think, how do we even detect a should? Because I, from what, well, as a therapist too, working with you and learning from you also, shoulds don't always sound just as simple as shoulds. Like,
That's
how
true.
can we detect shoulds?
Well, shoulds can manifest in coulds, woulds, musts, have to, I need to do that. Because what happens with a should, then it turns into a must or a have to or a need, then it elevates it. And this is where the anxiety piece comes in. It elevates, like, I need to make sure I get that 20-pound turkey. You know, if we really take that word at the end of the day, you don't need a lot, actually. You need food, clothing, and shelter. I mean, we're talking, you know, if we really look at our needs, what do we actually need? It is a much smaller list than we often make it, and shoulds make it a bigger list, because, and then what it does is it puts everything at this level that everything is urgent. I need to do this. I have to do this. I should do that. You know, and then before you know it, you've got a list of 10 things you need to do to prepare something, and they're all imminent. They're all urgent, right?
Yeah.
And so it really kind of messes up the prioritizing system. And then that elevates anxiety because everything has to, I have to do this. It has to be done.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I mean, there. I mean, basically what I'm hearing is like, it should, I mean, you've identified many words, right? Could, would, must, need to, but it could be anything that makes something seem really urgent when realistically it doesn't really have to. It just feels urgent. But you know, when you really are able to take a step back, it's really not that important.
Exactly. And the must, just to throw in there real quickly, musts often turn into then really rigid rules, right? Like the speed limit, I must drive 55 because that's what the sign says. And you know, there's no variance in that. So that's a rigidness. So I must produce this turkey can give a very rigid rule, right? And then that elevates the anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean, actually, depending on what type of therapy, you know, we practice, I mean, there's a whole aspect of therapy that you and I, you know, talked about together, ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy, which a lot of it is, you know, around like developing a little bit of a flexible mindset, because life is not rigid. Life is dynamic and changing. And some ways to thrive is to be able to allow yourself, like, you know, to learn a flexible mindset so that you can adjust to different circumstances. And shoulds and musts basically create a lot of rigidity.
Exactly. And so if you keep in that framework, which then we're gonna take a leap to, like, what do you do with shoulds?
Yes.
But it's also the concept. So how do you unhook from that? How do you become aware if are you shoulding yourself? And then how do you unhook from that, right?
Well, you basically asked the next question, which is, I mean, okay, so let's go from this like language of obligation, this language of rigidity.
Right.
What do we do? How do we move from the language of obligation and from this like rigid mindset?
Right. And then do we just leave holes in our sentences?
I blank 20 pound turkey.
Yeah.
Is that what we do?
No. And how I've held this for years, and it seems to make sense to people, is you want to shift from the language of obligation to the language of choice. In the language of choice, our wants, will, preference, you know, I prefer, I will do this, I want to do this, I wish I was able to have a 20-pound turkey this year. However, there's only 5 people showing up, so that's a bit unrealistic. So I will, you know, make a smaller turkey, and I'll let my mom know in advance and deal with that before she sits down, right?
Okay.
That's a whole shift, right? That I just gave you an example. I should get that 20-pound turkey. I must have it. You know, it's going to upset my mother if I don't. To, okay, well, you know, I really wish more people were coming, and yeah, I really like cooking that turkey, and I wish I could, and it's not really what's happening this year.
I'm thinking about, like, as you're saying, like, using different language and like shifting, right? From just shifting your wording, your lexicon from should to will to want. I have to say, I mean, it sounds a lot, even as I play it in my head, because as you're talking, I'm like, ooh, let me put this in my head. Like, I should cook a 20-pound turkey, or I want to cook a 20-pound turkey. And even viscerally, the want just sounds nicer.
It does, doesn't it?
It feels a little better.
It does. And also, I didn't throw in there real quickly, is if you think about it, shoulds are a language of inaction. I could should myself all day.
Yes, absolutely.
I should cook a 20-pound turkey. I should go to the store. I should. I could sit there all day and then feel guilty about it. One of the prominent feelings with shoulds or usually arises is guilt and or shame, which is a deeper one, which we don't have a lot of time to get into today. But that's when you get blame and then you get guilt and shame with shoulds, right? And it's a language of inaction. I could say, sit there all day. I should get that turkey. I should get that turkey. I should get that turkey. And then beat myself up and feel guilty because I had some sort of obligation to the family to get the turkey. And then at the end of the day, I never went and got the turkey. Very different than, you know what? I really don't want to get a 20-pound turkey. And so I'm going to go to, whatever, the grocery store, and I will buy something, but it's certainly not going to be a 20-pound turkey.
I mean, when you shift it from, I should buy a 20-pound turkey, which actually has this like sort of like nagging feeling. It just like,
I know.
as you're saying, like all these shoulds, like sort of like I feel like a weight on my shoulders nagging, like, oh, 20-pound turkey, I should drive to the grocery store. I have
Right.
to do this, I must. I'm like, oh. And even from like, saying like, I will buy a 20-pound turkey, or maybe I will not buy a 20-pound turkey. That's like a, I actually feel like empowered when I actually like say those words or think about those words.
They can be empowering. And now, though, one of the sides to hold on to those shoulds is, and I know that's not what we're here for today, but once I make that shift to this is what I will do, and you put it in action, then you might have some relatives that are unhappy that you're going to need to deal with. So shoulds can provide a protection in some ways.
Okay, so they're there to keep you in check. They're not all
Right.
bad.
They're not. So there's good reasons to hold on to it. But then, however, like I said, then you're going to sit there all day and beat yourself up because you didn't get the 20-pound turkey or you don't really want to, but you're shooting yourself rather than just saying, I really don't want to do this. How am I going to deal with my family and my upset mother and my mother and mother-in-law, whatever, because I'm not going to be serving this turkey.
Okay, I can see like a shift in ways of like moving from this sort of like this language of inaction on language of obligation. And so is it just as simple as just changing the words? Like if we were to offer some of our clients or potential viewers out there some specific steps of like how to do this, how to make this big shift from the language of obligation to the language of choice. I know.
Sure.
How would they do that?
So to speak to that one, if you're finding yourself like spinning, or people will use the word spinning, ruminating, obsessing over like a little thing, I'm realizing we've been talking about a 20 pound per turkey now for 20 minutes. But it gives you an example of how something that seems kind of, mundane and not cute, what are we? It can become so big in our heads and generate so many feelings about, am I going to cook this turkey or not? Right. And if you're finding yourself in that space, then check in and do, as we've talked about previously, a simple, it's a self-monitoring. It's a simple method where you just block, check yourself for 15 minutes, half an hour, and say, okay, how often am I shoulding myself about this? Right. How often are shoulds coming up? I'm really feeling bad and guilty and upset, and how am I talking to myself? And in the language of shoulds, you're looking for the shoulds, the have tos, the musts. Like, are you kind of finger pointing at yourself in your head and document like, okay, I'm doing like 50, I just did 15 shoulds in the last 5 minutes. Okay, that's not great, right? So the first thing is to discover how are you speaking to yourself when it comes to the language of shoulds. Is it are they popping up a lot? Are you using those words a lot?
Okay, so the first step is just checking yourself, noticing, monitoring yourself
Right.
of like what language you actually use. And of course, right, being therapists and we work with clients that come in with a lot of shoulds, oftentimes people don't even know that they're using them. So there's a
That's right.
lot of power in even like right now, I'm writing down notes because I want to keep track of everything that Elizabeth is saying. But I mean, it could be as simple as you said, 15 minutes of taking a piece of paper and just noticing like, how many times did I say the word should or have to or must?
Exactly. And then that gives you a framework because one of the big things, and if you want to change anything, really, I think it's nice to know where, how often is this problem happening first, because then as you move along, which then can give you peace of mind, the whole framework is this, how do you get peace of mind in holidays, right? And this is, then you can see, oh gosh, you check in a couple of days, oh, I've only shown myself in the last 5 minutes and twice, and I'm not feeling that bad because I noticed that I've, you know, I'm using want, wish, will, preference, because it also gives you a baseline. So then you can start using a different method, such as the language of choice, right?
Okay. And, you know, and you said before we get to language of choice, with this first step of self-monitoring, you just identified like comfort. I mean, I think it's important, and I know you do this because I know you have your clients do mood logs. As a cognitive behavioral therapist myself, I also do levels of monitoring too. And I think it's important sometimes to be able to monitor like, oh, you should, must, have to. Want, I mean, we should also be monitoring, or we can also monitor how it makes us feel when we hear these shoulds. Exactly. And then when we're feeling these musts, what does it feel like? Because I think it helps us understand what the impact of the should is on us, and then hopefully give us some motivation. Like if it doesn't make us feel good, then why not try something different?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think if you're getting at the measurement, it's always good to, and I say, if you're just doing this on your own, then ask your level of comfort, right? What's the level of comfort you have right now thinking about that 20-pound turkey, right? And shitting yourself. And let's say, you know, using a 1 to 5 scale, 1 to 10 scale, and let's say it's at a 9. I mean, I'm sorry, it's at a 2 because the discomfort is so great, right? And then looking at, okay, how I'm obviously really uncomfortable about this and I'm having a lot of feelings about it. My level of comfort's at a 2, my discomfort might be at a 9. So what do I do with this? And then you practice, for example, the language. So you take that sentence in your head, like I should get this 20-pound turkey, right? And shift it like I did earlier to, you know what? I keep looking at this guest list and there's only going to be 6-7 people showing up because a lot of people are out of town. I don't want to get this turkey, but you know what? I really don't want to deal with my mom either. However, I just would prefer not to have so much leftover food. So I'm going to try and talk to my mom in advance. Not going to be the best conversation, but I'm going to set my intentions to get a 10-pound turkey instead. And it'll be easier for everybody and I'll figure it out.
And that was a pretty simple shift there. I mean, I know there's a lot there, but you went from I should eat this endless 20-pound turkey, I should cook this 20-pound turkey, to I'm going to talk to my mom about this, and maybe I'm going to, or I will do a 10-pound turkey. So they're just two like subtle but pretty important shifts.
Exactly. And the importance of this too is that where the language of choice comes in, I still could choose, so I should cook the 20-pound turkey, but if I shift it to, I don't really want to, but then again, I don't really want to deal with the fallout of the relatives or my mom. So, you know what? I think I will go ahead and cook that 20-pound turkey because I just really don't want to deal with the communication, right?
Right.
So it could go either way, but there's the choice.
Right. You're not just doing it because of the default.
Exactly.
You're doing it because you've consciously thought of the options, like weigh the pros and cons, and then you decide that this will make you feel better for this reason.
Right.
And maybe not everything will be perfect, but you're making the choice to do this.
Exactly. And what happens when you make a choice? You even notice that, you know, in the language, it's different. There's that peace of mind that we're talking about. It's not great in the fact that this choice isn't great either. You got to deal with your mom and a conversation, or you got to deal with a bunch of leftover food and your internal dialogue about, you know, cooking a 20-pound turkey, whatever that means to you, of food waste, right? But now you have the choices rather than I should do this. I have to do this. I should do this. I'm just going to do this. Ugh.
I mean, even as we're talking right now, right? Like, you know, if we're moving to language of choices, this damn 20-pound turkey, I have to say, I'm just going to put this out there in the name of like, you know, like diversity. I'm Chinese. I don't even like turkey sometimes. Like,
right.
I don't actually think it's that delicious. Like, why am I thinking about making a turkey? Because I actually am. You know, I'm like, why? Like, I really want sushi. I want my Thanksgiving sushi.
There you go.
So, okay, so there is a lot of power.
Right. It opens up the possibilities.
It is. And so, okay, so I think it sounds like very doable, monitoring yourself. Monitoring the impact of these, of the shoulds and the types of shoulds, and moving to the language of choice. And so I think people might have a good like idea of how to do this. I'm wondering, I don't know, we have like maybe a few minutes. What if we would it be worth it for us maybe just to do a little demo? Just maybe like a few minutes of I guess I'm trying to get in some like free like stress relief from you, but maybe we can show how this works, because I know we've been talking about this 20-pound turkey, but maybe putting in a slightly real life situation, now all for my own,
Sure.
and then maybe you can just help us like show the viewers on how this might be implemented.
Okay, got it. So do you have some thoughts about the holidays and
Oh
expectations?
my God, yeah, I do. All right, let me take a breath. This is my self-care now. All right, so Elizabeth, I do love my job a lot. This is like my favorite of all my jobs I've ever had. I'm so happy all the time, doing the work that that we do. But I'm very eagerly anticipating the Thanksgiving break, and I know that I really need to get some like rest and recharge. I know that I should have some fun with my kid, my husband, because I don't have that much time anymore. I'm always like, I am always working right now, and so I want to make sure I have fun, and like I really feel like I don't know, like I hate to say it, but I need to have fun. And then I really want to see my family, and we're gonna do this big holiday, Thanksgiving dinner at my home, and I know I'm trying to not use the words like need to, but like naturally, I guess in my head, since I'm not being a therapist right now, I'm
Yeah,
just being a
this is
regular
just people to
person.
people. We're just talking.
Okay, here's what I need to do. I need to clean my house. I need to make some good main dishes. I need to provide some good wine, good beverages. Make sure the kids have something cool to drink. I want to do good homemade stuff too, because I don't know, just buying stuff doesn't seem right. I don't know. And then honestly, I probably need to also get like my Christmas shopping like right after that dinner, start, even though Black Friday is sort of fun, but you know what? Yeah, I need to get started on the holiday shopping, because I know then like the December holidays come upon us, so there's like a ton of stuff to prepare
So I'm
for.
going to interrupt you for a second. So as you're
Yes.
putting out this list, what are you noticing as far as, because here's a mindfulness method, right? What are you noticing as far as your mood when we, as far as this would be a perfect time to take a measure, like from 1 to 10, your level of distress, how much anxiety you're noticing, discomfort.
Well, I'll say that I was having a perfectly fine conversation with you earlier, and now I actually feel my heart beating a little faster, and I probably have like sped up exponentially how much I talk, because it feels urgent, actually.
Yeah, and how urgent from 1 to 10?
Eight.
8. Okay. So all those things
Yes.
that you should play with your, have fun with your family, you should, get those special gifts, you need to get the list going and get the food and yet you need to get some rest and it's got to be restorative.
Yes, it has to be restorative. I need to be restored. Okay.
Okay, so maybe that's the priority right there. So sometimes it happens like this where you're able to identify, but really what I need and what I want most is for it to have some time of being rest and restored, right?
I guess so. I mean, I really was thinking about like turkey and all that, seeing my family and doing all this, but like what I really need is some just rest and restoration. I don't even know what it looks like. It doesn't even matter.
Okay, so here is something to ask yourself. So if this is just if people are doing this on their own and you get the list and you see all the needs and wants, what we've just done here, one is you've checked in for your level of distress, right? You watched yourself just even as you were thinking about these things, it rised, right? So that's a good sign that it's generating some discomfort. And now out of that though, you realized, oh, if I look at this, the thing that's really valuable to me is this, I want some rest and be restored for the holiday. I really need that. That's what I want to give myself.
Yes,
Okay,
absolutely.
so now, so there you go. You've got one thing that you know you really want. You've got these other things going on that you will or won't do. So I'm shifting it or, giving you an example of rather than taking in the shoulds, then how do you make this happen? And you could ask yourself a question, which, in some avenues is it just, an image is a powerful thing. So if you get an idea of at the end of the day or at the end of the 4 days, let's say, of the Thanksgiving holiday, What will it look like if you got some rest and felt restored?
What will it look like? You mean, what will I look like?
What will you look like? Oh, what do you imagine that's going to be Ooh. Like? What would be some, you know, two or three key things that you would know? Wow, I really got some rest in on these platforms.
Honestly, I just imagine a big smile. I imagine myself just being able just to sit and maybe play with my Transformers, play with some Legos, you know, be with my family, but realistically, just being like restored, chill. I'd have a smile on my face. I'd feel connected because I know I'd be with my family. That's really what's important. And I would feel at peace. I'd feel calm, which is what I naturally, that's like, you know, my baseline usually that I'd like to try to adhere to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what you're wanting. So I'd invite, you know, and anybody who's listening is that you have that image and you just hold it for a minute and really get the quality and the felt sense of that. Because like I said, an image can be a very, it is, their images in our heads are very powerful things and they can help us feel good or they can really turn our world upside down, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now you've got an idea of where you're going, which in itself can help bring a peace of mind because now you've got kind of that, yeah, that space. You know, at the end of the 4 days, I'd like to have a smile on my face. I want to be like feeling a little casual and playing with my Legos and my Transformers and my family around me. And maybe we're chatting about the dinner that we had, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner, right, or whatever that is, right? However you celebrate that holiday. And that's what you want. Okay.
Well, I think you're empowering me right now because I think like, let me like, you know, sort of roll, like, you know, sort of roll with your framework because now I want to use a language of choice because I do, now that you've helped me identify sort of what the shoulds are and even the impact on me, I want to take some time to relax. I will not make a 20-pound turkey. I will connect with my family and I'm going to keep it simple because like that's what's important. So whatever form that takes, it'll figure itself out, but it will not be a turkey. It will not be, you know, endlessly cleaning the house, you know?
Right. So where's your anxiety, your distress now? And or your level of comfort?
Well, if I'm checking in with myself.
Yeah, check in with yourself.
The Absolutely. Buzzing and the speed of the thoughts have just sort of slowed. And I can even start noticing and just hearing a little bit of the room. Mm-hmm. Even just a little bit of the soft buzzing when you can't hear anything. It's like the soft buzzing of the fluids in your head. And so it's actually sort of nice. It feels lighter. Mm-hmm. And it just feels, yeah, lighter and emptier, but in a good way.
Okay. All right. And just because I like to hear numbers, so the dial down on the distress, where are you now? Oh, look at that. You just took a deep breath, too.
Yeah. I would say right now, I mean, 2 or 3, because I don't even need to be thinking about that right now.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, a 2 or 3 is really okay to feel stressed about the holidays when you're thinking about them, because that shows you care. You don't want to get rid of that. Anytime
yeah, that's
we
true.
Engage in
Absolutely.
Something and we care, we have a little level of stress. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the exactly. So see what just happened here. Right. And this happens. And you could do this, like, you know, people who are listening, you do it with a friend, just talk about it, lay out like what you did. You came in, you had a list of the needs, wants, the shoulds, and then kind of said, but this is really, here's what I really would like the holiday to look like at the end. And then you started coming up with like alternative thoughts.
Yeah, it was natural.
It was natural, right? And using that language, though, of choice, of want, wish, will, preferences, I will do this, I don't want to do this. And now that'll give you a path to follow for the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm almost 100% certain that when you, you know, have this and people are doing, you could write this down, you could put it in the notes in your phone. I mean, there's ways to have this and just kind of check in with yourself and keep that image of how you want how you want to be, how you want others to be in the holidays, and then working with keeping the language of obligation out of your head or just recognizing it. Because like I said, sometimes it has some value, but recognizing it and then deciding, no, I really want to shift it to the language of choice. and then sometimes doing a little personal monitoring to see if there's a difference. Because when you also spend the minute, this is where the mindfulness stuff comes in, right? When you spend that minute to check in with yourself, it grounds it.
Mm-hmm.
And your memory is going to pull it up. Because that's a part of keeping a peace of mind in the holidays too, is having little things that bring you back to self. Little things that, oh, what am I doing again? What am I working towards? I'm
right.
feeling stressed. You know, being able to slow it down.
Yes. And actually, we're coming up on time.
We are.
And actually, this is a good time to just do a quick summary before we move into
Please.
Some questions.
Yeah.
And I have to say, now coming back and doing, you know, for my own little mini tip session to now just like summarizing what we did today, I have to say it's actually pretty natural. I think, you know, if you follow a few of these tips that Elizabeth, you provided, I think things will naturally just start kicking into place. Won't make everything perfect, but it will. Your natural resilience and your natural perspective will probably start coming through. So to me, I believe that the steps are, number one, monitoring your language, maybe writing down the shoulds, the musts, the have tos, taking some time out just to notice how often you use them, and then the impact of using those words on your feelings or on yourself. Sort of that, as you said, that like that, you know, some moments of mindfulness and connecting. And then once you notice that, notice the impact of the shoulds, and once you notice that, then it's actually making that choice to change, making your choice to go from the language of obligation to the language of choice. So using the I wills, I want tos, well, I guess that's really it, right? I will, I may.
I will, I want, I wish, because wish is an important one.
Okay.
Because that is, says, gosh, I really wish this is going to happen and it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or
so,
I prefer.
Yeah, those are all excellent things. Or I will not.
Exactly.
Do.
Then you can add the not.
Yes, I do not want to do this. I do not wish to do this. So uh-huh. taking that agency back and taking your choice back.
Right. Exactly.
So honestly, it's sort of as simple as that, as just a first step, as a good step. And then hopefully, just sort of like I did, our viewers might feel a little bit better. And so at this point, why don't we turn it over to Rose, who can maybe provide a question or provide if there's been any questions from the field before we do a little closing?
I don't see any questions in the chat or the Q&A. So if you haven't voiced any questions, this is a good moment to raise your hand or put them in the chat. That's totally fine.
Okay. So we can wait for a moment for that and see.
Okay. I don't see any questions.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'd like to throw, I know that we're close to time, but can I throw out one,
please,
one simple question, because this was one that had just come up to me this week from one of my clients, and I thought it was really poignant. Probably loaded, so maybe for one of our future workshops, but maybe you can give a quick answer, because you know what to do. Okay, difficult conversations at the dinner table, especially during the holidays.
Right.
Any tips on how to navigate those?
Yeah, that's a whole other hour, isn't it?
Trick question, sorry.
Yeah, that really is. I guess what I can say, and I think we need to really, maybe it makes me think we might want to do another one. Because if you were to use even what we just did today, you're going to bring a different mind state, if you will, into the room with that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, if you're not like, oh, it should be happening this way, it should, oh, I shouldn't have said that, I should have said that, you know, and that's that finger pointing. And once again, you're going
right.
to get into that dynamic of blame, right? Now, there's a lot of good reasons to blame. I get it. You know, however, if you're trying to have a more effective or better conversation that's difficult, getting defensive, being critical verbally, or getting kind of a self-righteous anger isn't going to help the situation. It's not going to make that conversation any easier, right?
Right. So
if you're feeling defensive, mm-hmm. possibly see if you can take responsibility for something. Because defensive is the beginning of blaming rather than saying, you know what, I really wish you wouldn't do that. I know that, you know, it's when you say those things, it's really difficult for me to hear. And I don't really like it, right? It's a very different thing than saying, stop saying that.
Right.
Think about how does it land on you. Try and take responsibility for something. If you feel critical, take a breath and try and do what a more, what I would say, gentle or a startup, a more thoughtful startup. Mm-hmm. Rather than being, why did you do that? You know, or I, please don't bring up this conversation. It annoys me. Saying, you know, this is a really hard conversation for me to have. And I prefer that we not spend our holiday time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. That was a loaded question. And that, as maybe that is like our next topic. And I think you've provided just some like really good beginnings, even pulling in what we talked about today. So what I heard was holiday conversations that might be difficult. Maybe if you can regulate yourself using the language of obligation, choice instead of shoulds, to regulate yourself before you even get into those situations. When you enter the holidays, enter in a more regulated way, mm-hmm. in a way where you feel like you are doing this for the reasons that you want to. And then from there, yeah, if there are difficult conversations, hopefully you will be in a better space to be able to navigate those. And if you do end up in a difficult conversation, taking responsibility, maybe take a step back, taking a breath sometimes. And then really when you're, hopefully, if the goal is to connect with your family members, then maybe a more thoughtful startup.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Great. If you want connection, those are the ways to do it. If there's some family members you may not want to connect with, then don't try and take responsibility or listen to them, you know, seriously. There's some good reasons. The last thing I want to say on that, yes, that those are good ways. And, you know, if you have a conversation you're churning in your head, like, you know, my grandmother's going to bring this up, I just know she is, then write the line out that grandma's going to say that annoys you most, and then take some of what we're talking about. How, where am I going to get defensive? How might I take responsibility? What am I being critical about? Write some things out, just kind of play with it. If you really are wanting it to go well before the conversation happens, get a sense, see where you're shooting yourself, where are you blaming, things like that. And using some of the tools here to possibly help you navigate a better conversation.
I love that. Getting back to some of the basic skills and basic tools of like writing things down, noticing what's going on in you, and then honestly, gives you a little time to prepare and maybe even just to expose yourself to, you know, to distress. You know, the distress of like some maybe impending comments. Maybe they won't sting so much if you're sort of write it down enough and you get used to them.
Yep. Okay.
All right, so I think we are at time. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for providing some like really valuable tips for the holiday season. And just a little reminder, please take care of yourself during this holiday season. Allow yourself to take a break or opt out of things that take a toll on you. Do what you want, be kind to yourself. And resources, don't forget that you have resources here. You have resources in your loved ones, your friends and family, if you need to talk to someone, or if you need help with things. You don't have to do things all by yourself. And then if you need additional help, we at the East Bay Center for Anxiety Relief, we have very caring and loving therapists here that can serve as additional resources if you need an outside perspective. And Chewy, too.
And then we have Chewy, who just granted his last word.
All right. So thank you very much. And hopefully we will see you again shortly when we have a second discussion in January with another one of our awesome therapists, Rose Marcotte.
Exactly. Go for Rose. Probably will be.
Yeah. I love this conversation. And maybe we can even kind of continue the conversations on shoulds, because our topic will be on habits and establishing your New Year's habits, your goals, your new rituals and routines. But it's kind of like maybe we can even be mindful of what we're bringing from this year. And if there's some shoulds or need to or musts or have to's driving that, we can kind of put a spin on that and see how that might impact some choices, your wills, your choices, your wants for the next year. So I'd be delighted to talk to you more about that.
Lovely. Thank you, Rose. Yeah.
Thank you, Rose. That'd be a good one.
And you don't need to do this all alone. I typed up a lot of these good points here. So if you are more of a visual learner, in addition to hearing it, I'll send you the notes so you can share with all of our viewers.
Okay, great. Thank you.